Compassion for ourselves and others is our birthright as humans, hardwired into our DNA and essential to our happiness. But in today's selfie, hyper-competitive world, we're seeing higher rates of narcissism while empathy levels have declined. A glance on Facebook and you can see cruelty everywhere, but there are also glimpses of kindness. Is it enough? Enter clinical psychologist Dr. Tara Cousineau with her new book, The Kindness Cure, How the Science of Compassion Can Heal Your Heart and Your World. Welcome to the show, Tara.
Thanks for having me.
So how do you first define kindness?
Well, I define it in a pretty simple way as kindness is love in action. It's pretty simple, but sometimes it's hard to implement.
It definitely is. But one of the things that I find curious is if we're hardwired to it and it's in our DNA, what has happened over the last, I don't know, seems like a couple of decades that makes us not as empathetic or kind as we once used to be?
Well, I don't know if there has actually been a change. I think that every generation experiences, you know, this sort of continuum of kindness and cruelty, because really human beings are capable of both, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think really what I was getting at, or I'm trying to really promote, is that we actually have to understand that kindness and compassion actually is hardwired into our system. We wouldn't have survived as a human species from generation to generation without the ability for caring, generosity, and collaboration. I think one of the things that we come around to, you know, sort of time and again, is that there are terrible things that happen. I think that the difference today is that it's the negativity is so amplified. We're just like 24/7 kind of sucked in to all the bad things that are happening. And so there's sort of it's almost like a gravitational pull. I don't know how to describe it other than that, is that we're sort of pulled into this space of negativity, and that can really wear and tear on us. So we actually have to kind of offset that gravitational pull by reminding ourselves that, you know, kindness and humanity exists. We actually live in a safer, less violent, more democratic world, but it doesn't seem that way because it's not sort of front and center for us in our day-to-day lives.
That's very true, especially if you go on social media sites and things like that. It always seems like that people are more angry and meaner to each other. And one of the other things that someone else had said to me, too, is, well, you know, you can't be too kind or you're weak.
Right. Well, that's the paradox here. And that was sort of the conundrum that I was sort of facing. I was like, kindness has this sort of assumption that we all know what it is, and that, you know, most people, if you ask them if they think that they're kind, well, most people say yes. I actually get a bunch of people who say, oh, no, not anymore. But for the most part, you know, we assume it, we expect it, we value it in some ways. On the other hand, we're really suspicious of kindness. We don't trust people who are kind, and we have plenty of sort of archetypes in sort of current, you know, folklore. Like, if you just think of my favorite example is in the Harry Potter series, is one of the professors of the dark arts, Dolores Umbridge, right? She's, you know, sort of, you know, pink and puffy and all sort of, you know, sweet and saccharine on the outside, but really she's an evil villain on the inside. And I think that, you know, we had this idea that, yeah, we can't be too, you know, we have to be a little bit cautious about people who are kind. And I think that that is actually a detriment to us.
Yes, I love the way you started the book, because you talk about your daughter.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there was all these little things that we're talking about sort of involved in that. My daughter, it was the eve before senior year of high school. The kids are all celebrating. They're outside, you know, in the woods where they're not supposed to be. But what are you going to do? They're teenagers. And she leaves the area, and she gets, you know, attacked, assaulted by another girl, actually. And we could never really determine, like, you know, what was sort of the trigger. And but it almost didn't matter. You know, my reaction as a mom was, and as a clinical psychologist who's dealt with a lot of sort of the mean girl, you know, arena, I was like, why? Like, you know, what happened to kindness? You know, is this how we're sort of dealing with our, you know, disappointments in life, or our jealousy, or our regrets, or I don't know. And so I really actually just said, okay, what happened to kindness? What is it? Do we have definitions of it? What has the science taught us in the last 20 years? Like, is there anything new that we can find out about kindness and why it's important? So I embarked on this sort of two-year project of really exploring kindness.
We are talking with Dr. Tara Cousineau. She is the author of The Kindness Cure. Tell our listeners about self-protective empathy lethargy, or SPEL.
Right, that's my cute way of saying that we all, you know, kind of have this tendency to fall under a spell or a trance. And it's partly the trance of stress, of negativity, and it's that gravitational pull that I was talking about at the beginning, because honestly, like, many people are stressed out. If you look at sort of even like some of the Stress in America surveys done by the American Psychological Association, people are more stressed out, particularly parents. People are worried about finances. Kids are worried about their future. In fact, adolescents are as stressed out as adults during the school year, and you have to say, like, what has happened that stress levels have just gone up so high? But really what it means is that we're in constant fight or flight mode. So we're actually engaging another instinct of ours, which is more primal, really, and that's, that's our, you know, survival instinct. That's the fight or flight response. And when we're in that mode, it actually is really hard to tap into our kinder natures. We're more self-involved. Our views are narrow. We're just kind of focused on how I'm going to get through this day. And it's harder, actually, to kind of access the other parts of our physiology and our brains that can help us take a step back, take a deep breath, employ self-compassion. So it takes a little bit of effort to kind of move from being under a spell to a place where we have a broader perspective on life and can employ our compassion instinct. It takes effort, but it's so worth it because the research bears it out.
And what's so great about your book is that you tell us what the recipe is to break the spell.
Yes, I do. And really, it's, you know, well, first of all, we need to pay more attention to the good in the world, just on like a basic level. We have to catch ourselves from being hooked by the news, from being hooked by all the negativity. We have to actually redirect our attention. That's a really big aspect of it. The other piece is that we really need to recruit our own physiology. We actually have to engage our parasympathetic nervous system. That's the system that kind of calms us down from the stress response. You know, as a clinical psychologist, I've been teaching sort of mind-body practices for two decades, and really most of us have adapted to sort of shallow breathing. You know, we never actually know, we don't even know how to take deep breaths anymore, and that makes us really prone to go into anxiety and panic. And we're not teaching our children actually these skills, because these are really life skills. It's so important to be able to manage our emotions. When we can't regulate our emotions, we freak out, we get angry. You know, it's really the root of a lot of aggression and violence.
Yeah, absolutely. What about if you're being kind to someone else takes away from your own self? Like, what if you're always the one that seems to be like, you're the kind one, and you're being kind to someone that really...
Yeah.
What do you do with that?
Well, so, you know, kindness is not about being nice and agreeable. And I want to be really clear on that. Kindness often is about setting a boundary. And this is where I move into self-compassion. So a lot of the book is about self-compassion. And we have to know, you know, our sort of own propensity to get caught under a spell, or if we're acquiescing because we think that we're doing the right thing, or the shoulds, or the inner critic is telling us we're not good enough, or those sorts of things. And so we really actually have to apply kindness to ourselves. And this can be tricky. In fact, sometimes it's the hardest thing for people to even kind of grasp onto when people start to actually realize sort of the inner critic that's sort of circling in their mind. It's sometimes shocking how brutal we can be towards our own self. So part of the practice of kindness is also kind of learning how to be in relationship to those wounded parts of yourself, or to the parts of yourself that think that you should act and behave a certain way, you know, to be the good boy or the good girl and that sort of thing. And so we have to learn how to set boundaries.
And what of the other side of the coin, receiving that kindness from someone else?
Well, again, human behavior is so complex. You know, we can kind of respond in so many different ways, but sometimes we dismiss the kindness of others, or we feel that we don't deserve it, or we sort of, you know, push it off. And so we actually have to reframe sort of how our understanding of kindness. And I like to think of, you know, kindness as something that's really, it's not just kind acts, it's really an orientation to life. So it's having a belief that life is good, that we can appreciate the small things, that we can really engage in relationships that are meeting, we stand in our, in our integrity, and that we see the beauty and the dignity in other human beings, right? And not necessarily to expect that back.
Right.
Because some, you know, people are in different places in their life, you know. Sometimes it's, you have to actually recognize that somebody else's behavior actually isn't about you at all. Is they're in a hurt place or a place that's really separate than you, but we have to learn how to make that distinction.
Yeah, and that's again where your book comes in as well. We're talking with Dr. Tara Cousineau. She is the author of The Kindness Cure, and I love the way you put that orientation to life. You're a mindfulness trainer, and what would be, as you speak to our audience, what would be the maybe a real nugget that you really want people to grasp from The Kindness Cure?
Well, I think one really simple thing is to sort of reorient how you wake up every day and to ask yourself, how am I going to bring kindness to my day, or how can I apply kindfulness, which is what I call it in the book, which is really sort of being aware of the present moment with heart. If we can sort of orient our days from the get-go with a place of sort of open-heartedness and curiosity and generosity, it often makes the day go so much easier. I've been married for a long time now, and my husband has this sort of little trick that he does. He goes to, like, the Dunkin' Donuts every day. He gets a cup of coffee. And his single goal is to actually make another person laugh.
Wow.
And it changes, you know, people's attitudes, you know, kind of has this little contagion effect. And so I kind of use him as a good example. Is like, you know, what if you started out your day with being kind or generous or funny or caring? How can that change, you know, your feelings about the world and also affect other people? Because there is a contagion effect, which I also talk about in the book.
Right. And it's interesting that you talk about this. I have a friend on Facebook, actually, that has a project that involves kindness and spreading kindness and talking about ways to do it. And almost, well, every one of her posts has to do with being kind. And another friend who is going through some very serious medical issues, who is also constantly trying to be inspirational and kind and strong. And it's so interesting because as we talk about what the world is like right now and how it feels so self-absorbed and so narcissistic in many, many ways, there is sort of a groundswell, and The Kindness Cure, your book, is just a great tool to keep that going.
Well, thank you, Terry. I mean, I do think, like you describing your friends, there is so much kindness out there. There's so many good people. I mean, there are more good people than there are bad people, if we even want to talk about it in sort of, you know, polarized terms. But it's there, and we just need to pay attention to it. And I do think that having this orientation to life where, you know, being kind actually lifts your own spirits, first of all. And when you come from that place, it actually affects other people. And you might, you know, find, like, you know, like somebody said, oh gosh, you know, I got up today, went to the store, someone slammed a door in my face. And I'm like, yeah, and you need to let that go. You know, because that person's in a bad place, but that doesn't mean that you have to carry that with you, and that's going to frame the rest of your day. But there are so many kindness organizations that are out there now, and there's so many people doing good work. We just need to pay more attention to it. In my book, I actually talk about kids, right?
Yes.
They have a lot of, we have this natural instinct for kindness, and you can really see it in small children who love helping, and they come up with great ideas because they haven't been sort of socially, enculturated into defeat and failure yet. And they've got these great ideas, and they're doing all this good work, and sometimes we actually have to remind ourselves that it is so natural to us as human beings.
Yeah, that's very true. And you are a scientific advisor to kindness.org. Tell us about the Kind Lab and what you do there.
Well, kindness.org, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, is a fairly new organization. It's been around for about 2 years, and globally they are trying to basically have people share stories of kindness through their online platform, and they also do sort of on-the-ground work, especially sort of in England, where they've got these sort of these public living spaces for people who, you know, are in recovery or homeless, where just creating spaces of safety and support, and it's such a wonderful model. I love what they're doing. Kind Lab is actually a wonderful offshoot of it, where, you know, one of the things is that there's really no good definition of kindness or even how we operationalize it in the scientific research. You know, is it helping? Is it generosity? This and that. And so I think the Kind Lab is really trying to kind of elevate the science of kindness. And they're so new. I love what they're doing. So I get called in every once in a while for advising on it. And I just see really great things for that, like possibly a global kindness index and things like that, so that we can actually really apply kindness to so many areas of our lives. So that's pretty exciting.
That sounds exciting. We are talking with Dr. Tara Cousineau. She is the author of The Kindness Cure, How the Science of Compassion Can Heal Your Heart and Your World. We need to wrap this up, unfortunately, but I think one of the things that I found really probably that seems sometimes the most difficult is that self-compassion. Mm. And one of the things that I'm going to start practicing, and that is to be kinder to myself and the things I say in my head to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that that will hopefully translate out as well. I try to be kind to people, but you know, sometimes I'm not. So yeah. There you go.
Oh, well, I hope you do that, Terry. And sometimes it helps to name that inner critic, like, you know, negative Nelly or something like that, yeah. To sort of like externalize it so that you mm-hmm. can begin to have a relationship with that part of yourself. So you can be like, okay, I hear you. You wouldn't be screaming at me if something wasn't really sort of important to me right now, but I don't need your protection. You know,
there you
go. It's okay. Go take a seat in the corner, you know, and just really be kind to that part of yourself, because usually when we're beating ourselves up, it's because yeah. there's a part of us that's scared, you know, yeah. or nervous in some yeah. way. And so really, we could just sort of treat ourselves as we would a loved one or someone in need.
I like that. All right. Dr. Cousineau, thank you so much for your time. And just one last question. What's next for you?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, the book just came out a month ago, so I'm hoping that, you know, new things come out of it. Right now, I just love having the conversations with people. I am a real advocate for changing people's mind that kindness is a good thing in the world. So we'll see. And I've got, actually, on my own website, I've got a little kindness quotient, and maybe I'll be doing some courses, especially around mindfulness and self-compassion coming up. So people can follow me on my website, which is TaraCousineau.com.
All right. And I will have all that information for people after our interview airs, and I'll get that on our website and get them connected to you. Okay?
That's wonderful. Thanks for having me, Terry.
Thank you, Dr. Tara.